I'm looking forward to see what he's going to do with what he gave me this morning, because, to be very honest with you, the very first thing that I heard this morning was Jeremiah chapter 1, so that's where we're going to be going. So if you'll bow your heads with me, I want to make sure that we give him the glory for what he wants done. So Father, this is your word, and I believe that you will use my voice, my lips, my tongue, and fill my mouth with what you want so that they may grow into the maturity that you want for them, in Jesus' name. You know, sometimes the Lord will begin to work with me a few days ahead. Sometimes he doesn't. And I question sometimes. I'd like it my way. Okay, then the song, Doing It My Way. Well, I want you to see verse 10 first of all. It says, see, today I appoint you over nations and kingdoms to uproot and tear down, to destroy and overthrow, to build and to plant. If you don't have an NIV, I'm going to ask you to close your eyes, and I'm going to just let you repeat after me. God is speaking. Verse 9 says, the Lord reached out his hand and touched my mouth and said to me, now I have put my words in your mouth. See, today I appoint you over nations and kingdoms to uproot and tear down, to destroy and overthrow, to build and to plant. Close your eyes if you don't have the NIV and repeat after me. Today, God has appointed me over nations and kingdoms to uproot, to tear down, to destroy, to overthrow, to build, and to plant. Awesome, isn't it? What an incredible responsibility for a young man to carry such a task. I want you to come with me to Ephesians chapter 1. I want you to look at verse 22. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church. Is that what your Bible says? Who did he appoint to be head over the church, his body? Is it you and me? No. God placed all things under his feet, under the body of Christ has feet, yes? And appointed him, Jesus, to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. See, how does that apply to me? How did I get appointed to be in the house of prayer for all nations? Who in the world manipulated what to get us here for this day? Now, if I had my way 25, 30 years ago, and you would have told me that I was doing this, I would have told you you're crazy, you're out of your tree. Because as far as I was concerned, I was a recovering broken vessel. A recovering broken vessel. You see, we're recovering from what? Well, from all kinds of injuries. And I had survived only by the grace of God. I was beginning to see the appointment that he wanted from me, but I was fighting with him. I was arguing with him. Consistently, not just once in a while. Because all I could see was the circumstances around me. And I was focused on my pain. Come on, have I got any friends out there? I was focused on my hurt. I was focused on how in God's name did you ever choose me, and what in the world are you trying to do with me and through me and in me? I can remember when God began to push me to read the letter of Ephesians. Verse 3, praise be to the God and Father of my Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed me in heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus. I didn't believe a word of it. For he chose me in him before the creation of the world to be holy. Yeah, right. Look at the past. As far as I was concerned, it was everything but holy. And blameless in his sight. Yeah, well, guess what? His x-rays would have been, of my opinion, ugly. In love, he predestined me to be adopted as his son through Christ Jesus, or Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will. Ha, yeah, right. It didn't match what I was in. It didn't match where I was. It didn't have anything close to what I expected or believed about myself. To the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loved. As far as I was concerned, the God I understood was one that beats you up, slaps you around, puts you in jail, and if you don't behave every Sunday, you're going directly to hell and you'll never recover. Gee, at least I got one friend out there. But I believed it. I did. I really believed it. God had to begin to take the reality check of his presence in me and begin to shatter what I thought about myself first. He did put a table in the midst of my enemies. The enemies weren't outside, they were inside. And a good percentage of them were in my head. And they had been pounded home by words of destruction, words of correction, words of adjustment in order to please other people so that I would be holy in their sight, but I wasn't holy in my own. And God was trying to make me aware that he knew all along what I was going through, what I needed to go through, and where he expected to take me. And it was not sonship. It really wasn't impossible, as far as I was concerned, for me to be his son or like his son in any fashion, way, or form. The unbelief was so strong that I cried out, God, help my unbelief. And you know what? He heard my prayer. The only thing is, what he did with it was what I didn't want. I didn't want what he did. Do you understand? I really didn't want what he was wanting to do. And every time I could see myself going in that direction, I would pull myself back to the comfort level where I used to live and survive with my old friends. How many have ever survived with their old friends? Thank you. That's what it means to be having a table with Jesus Christ in the midst of your enemies. to be able to talk about all these enemies that are sitting at the table with him and you. In case you forgot, he came into your heart with your mess. And with your mess intact. And then, as you release one of them at a time, I couldn't do more than one because after all, I thought I'd crack up. One at a time, I released them to him. And sometimes I released them and took them back. How many of you got a few friends out there? Took them back because you know what? I couldn't live without them. I couldn't survive. I thought they were really like that little friendly kitty cat I told you about earlier. Friendly, wonderful little demons. You know, and they were so handy to have because they made me feel better about myself. They were cute and cuddly. But all the time, they were really interested in destroying me. And I couldn't see it. So I kept reading. Verse 7, in him I have redemption through his blood. Woo-hoo! When I discovered the power of his blood, it was a new day. It was a new day because, you see, I understood it wasn't all about me. It was all about what he had done for me, and it was done without me. All I had to do was accept it. And even there, I had a hard time. In him, I have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin in accordance with the riches of his grace. Oh, wow, what a wonderful gift. The gift of grace, unmerited favor, coming at me, coming for me, coming to me. That he lavished on me with all wisdom and understanding. That he lavished. He wasn't stingy like I used to be, or I thought of him as being. And he made known to me the mystery of his will. Well, I don't know what he wants about me. If he only knew me, the real me, he wouldn't have any plans for me. Is that really the truth? Or is that you screaming for attention? And when I scream for attention, what is it really? It's exposing some of that negative stuff that's at his table and your table. And when it's visible, you can ask him to help you get rid of it. Amen? Unless you see it, you can't help it. You won't be able to pull it out on your own. Verse 9. He made known to me the mysteries of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ to be put into effect when the times will have reached their fulfillment. When the times will have reached their fulfillment. What does that mean? To bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, even the anointed one. Christ Jesus. You know, when those words began to sink in, it's because I had taken a sheet of paper and I had begun to really print this out for myself, and I would release it back to God every day. I would read it out loud to him and impacting my own future. Because then the unbelief was being dealt with. As I would expose God's plan and timing to release his grace to me. And to transform me from a selfish person to a selfless person. Being transformed was a process that I needed to trust in. And you know what? I'd get discouraged periodically. I'd get overwhelmed. And he picked me back up. And he's still doing it. Do I have more of an understanding of what he wants? Yes. Do I still comprehend every level? No. But am I trusting his headship to take on the next level for me? Are you trusting him more than you did? Then if you are, you'll be victorious on the day appointed. Verse 11, in him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will. In order that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be for the praise of his glory, and you also were included in Christ. Aha! When you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having believed, you were marked within him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit. You know, when the Holy Spirit came into my life, I thought all my problems were over. God gave me such a honeymoon of joy in the midst of my hardship that I forgot all of those things that were definitely needed to be dealt with. I forgot them. They were like blanked out for a season. I believe God put a Holy Ghost blanket on them. And then a little bit at a time, he began to bring these things up to me that I needed to deal with. And I remember going to Mount Marie. I believe it was 1978, in the spring. And we were there for a weekend. And my dad was there. My dad and I had not gotten along for a long, long time. He had been born again for several months, and we were getting along. Now we at least would communicate. We're in the same building together. That was an incredible miracle. And while I was at one of the services, the Holy Spirit took me to this incredibly dark place. And I'm not kidding, Peggy, it was so black. It was like being inside of a refrigerator that had been painted black in a black room. Sealed. And I couldn't comprehend where I was. And the Lord came to me with a word right inside my heart. I really had left the building. I wasn't there. I was inside this black space. And I heard the words, "Would you forgive your dad?" And guess what the response was? No. Not doing it. No way! Now those words were silent, but they were screams inside of me. No! And I heard, if you want out of this dark space, you gotta forgive. I didn't want to. I was angry. I was disappointed. I was disappointed because it wasn't the dad that I expected him for me to forgive. It was the dad who gave me away. And I knew it. How I knew it, I don't know. But I knew that I knew that I knew that I was talking about Lewis, the one that had given me flesh. Yet he was so broken in his own abilities that he had to give me away 3 times. And finally, some of this stuff started gently to be ministered to me by the Holy Spirit. You see, he was telling me, look, you have the choice. You have the free will. Do you really want to hold on to this pain and this dark space? And then I began to understand that the transition of the hurt and the pain had gone from one father to the next father who became an alcoholic. And now the package of fatherhood was also impressed on me that I was angry with my Heavenly Father who I was blaming for getting rid of me as well. Now I had 3 fathers on my problem list. How many of you have ever had a problem with fathers? Well, I had to get rid of the problem first if I wanted freedom. And I had to choose to release forgiveness to the one that gave me flesh. And I did. Just as a short, like an inner little decision. That's all it was. It wasn't a decision that I made by anger. It was like submission. Jesus, help me. I do forgive him. And as I did say those words inside my heart, they were not spoken out loud. There were no manifestations of anything exterior. It was all interior. It was all inside that black hole.
And as I saw, it was like watching the North Star coming out when the sky is totally black. And it began to come. And now I understand it to be the morning star. And it came out of this incredible, explosive way down inside of me. And all the darkness exploded away as I began to weep and give in to submission. Because you see, I was now beginning to understand that I would have never had the second father who was abusive. Because of his alcohol and his self-destructive ways, it was abusing me. And I felt all that pain on me. And God was saying, will you forgive the next father? And I chose to do that. It was easier a little bit the second time, because it was more light around. And then I heard Jesus say, and you will forgive my father, won't you? And do you know what? I was hungry for that one. I was in a hurry to give him freedom. It was a choice that was not hard at that point, because I already done it twice in the natural. I had already released two fathers, so what's one more? Are you catching on? Without the Holy Spirit, without this gift of His presence inside of me, without knowing that Jesus was at that table inside my heart, this darkness would have continued to eat at me and destroy me. And what I'm trying to give you today is that Jesus is at your table. And if there are dark spots, He's going to show them to you. He's going to go one-to-one with each of you. Doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter how young you are. What matters is that you have Him at your table, right inside your heart. He's not just out there, He's inside. And He will come in and He will clean everything that you want Him to clean. And if you say don't, He'll stop. He won't do it. Because He's waiting for that gift of free will that you have. What is the good news? The gospel of your salvation? Verse 13 again. Having believed, you were marked in Him with a seal. The promised Holy Spirit. Verse 14, who is a deposit, guaranteeing our inheritance. You see, that day began a new place for me. In walking with knowing Jesus, in walking with my earthly dad that had brought me up. And I can remember, towards the close of that weekend, I believe it was Sunday afternoon, and the service was done, and my dad was next to me, and I said to him, Dad, would you please forgive me? What do you think he said to me? No. It came out of the depths of his being with such anger. No! Never! And he walked out of the building and drove home with my mother. The shattering of the rejection that I thought was all over was now all in front of me, all over again. For the rest of that evening, I was crying out to God, what do I do? What do I do? What's next? What do I do? What do I do? I went to work the next morning with my wife, and we prayed, and she was right there with me, and she knew what I had just received. She was very conscious of it. All morning long, I couldn't accomplish a darn thing. Guess where my head was? Reeling around that word. No! It was like an instant playing over and over, like a broken record. No! And by 1 o'clock, I heard what the Holy Spirit wanted me to do. He said, you tell your wife you're not going to be around for a while. Have her call the intercessors. have them pray for you and your dad. And you drive up there and you stay there. Park your car. And I saw the vision. I saw my car parked sideways in his driveway so he couldn't get out. Because that was his pattern. Every time I wanted to talk with him, he would run away. He'd drive away. He'd escape. And sometimes get drunk. Or take more stuff. Whatever. So I did what I was told. I would say I probably got there around 5 after 1, 10 after 1. Prayed with my mother and he ran out the front door. And I made a commitment. When he came back in, because he was hoping I'd be a little gone by now. And I said to him, Dad, I'm not leaving until you forgive me. And he screamed at me again, get out of my house. And I said, you'll have to shove me, push me, or kill me to get out, because I'm not leaving. I took my Bible out, and I began to go over the Lord's Prayer with he knew by heart. You will be forgiven in the same way you forgive others. And he said, I don't care what it says, I'm not doing it. And we argued. And we argued some more. And I could give you all the reasonings that went with it. But you know what? It was all coming out of selfishness. And out of pride, which was the defense mechanism. And we argued for hours. And if I remember correctly, around 6:15 that night, one scripture started to make a hole in that negative response. And he began to kind of shudder. Because Mom and I had been praying in the Spirit all this time. Every time he would leave the room or leave the house, we continued to intercede. And we interceded, and we interceded, and we prayed, and we interceded, and tried to release love to him. He shoved things at us, threw things at us, and we didn't leave. I knelt down next to his recliner, and I says, Dad, I am not leaving. I will sleep in this room unless you choose to forgive me. And it's an act of your will. And the tears started rolling out of his eyes. And he said, yes, I will. And he put his hands on my shoulders. And I fell into his arms and we wept for hours. Because you see, a son had brought his father home to the foot of the cross. And the blood of the Lamb cleansed us both that day. And we came alive. And there was a new light from heaven. A new light of grace that had come because we had chosen to do it His way. And I had chosen to be tenacious enough to listen to the Holy Spirit. Had it not been for the Holy Spirit pressuring me until I would obey, my dad would not be in heaven today. Because the unforgiveness would have sealed the door shut. Why am I so emotional? Because I want to spend my eternity with these fathers that God gave me. And I want you to grasp this truth today. Jesus is at your table, right inside your very heart, to clean out the things that you know nothing about. You may have no recollection. Because God showed me that night when I came home that black space was the womb of my mother. That's where I was. That's where the rejection came. When he found out that there was one more child coming into his house, he couldn't handle anymore. I was the 21st child that he was now going to be responsible for, and it was too much for him. He was at that breaking point. I had no knowledge. I had done nothing wrong. But I bared or weighed in on all that hurt that came out of him. And it went right into my mother's womb and attacked me with rejection. Now keep your eyes closed. And put your hands over your heart. And say, Lord Jesus, whatever rejection that I received from fathers, from Heavenly Father, from natural father, from father figures in my life, pour in the grace today that I need to get free. Whatever injuries were done on the inside of my heart, let them be healed by you today, Lord. And Holy Spirit, I depend on you to guide me and let me become so tenacious and so determined to get free. And it's by grace alone that this work will be done for your glory. For your glory, Lord Jesus. For your glory, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Verse 22, and God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head of everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. Lord Jesus, today, continue to fill every single person who listens to this message and who's heard these words, that by your Holy Ghost, you will establish a new awareness that you are right there with them inside of their very hearts. And yes, the table is set. And there is enough mercy to take you to victory. Say it with me. There's enough mercy to take me to victory. Hallelujah. Tell your neighbor, there's enough mercy to take us to victory. Hallelujah. Tell another neighbor. There's enough mercy to take us to victory. Stand up. Say, Lord Jesus, I'm depending on your mercy to take me to victory. Hallelujah. Off you go.